Good morning. It's hard to believe it's Saturday. Let's go ahead and open in prayer, ladies. Precious Holy Father, how we need you. Lord, thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for all that you continue to do. Thank you, Lord, that you are eternal. You are our refuge. You are the everlasting God. You are the Most High God. You are our shepherd. You are our merciful and faithful high priest. Lord, thank you that you intercede, that you are the protector of our souls, the lover of our souls. And Lord, I pray that you, as we close out this day, would work in every heart. That these ladies would sense your presence and your power. Father, you have told us that the greatest command is to love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves, that is only possible by your amazing and marvelous and infinite and enabling grace. Lord, we do love you, but deepen our love for you. May our hearts burn with a passion for you. Because one day, soon, we will see you, and we will be in your presence, and all of eternity will not be enough time to thank you for who you are and all that you have done. You are a wonderful, merciful Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross. Oh, Lord, it is amazing love. And Father, as we enter this last day, I pray that you would speak through your servants. And that's what we are, both Brother Dan, myself, we're just servants. You are the one who deserves every ounce of the credit. Those who are ministering in music, we are your willing bond slaves. And I pray that every ounce of the glory will go to you and you alone, our precious Lord. And so, Father, speak and encourage these ladies, because I know when they go home, they're going to be hit. And the enemy will do everything he can to discourage them. Lord, may they resist steadfast in the faith. And Lord, may they not forget all that you have done for them this weekend. May it endure. Don't let them go home and it just have been a weekend. Change us, transform us, renew our minds, and do what only the living God can do. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon Harold and Debbie, who pour out year after year through these advances and through books and through so many things, and they do it, I know, for your glory, but it's exhausting. Would you strengthen and encourage them? Lord, would you love on them? Give them spiritual hugs, because they are your servants. And Lord, I just pray a very special blessing upon them and upon every lady and upon all those who have helped and who have served. And Lord, we do love you. And so speak in these last moments through your servants, that all glory may go to you. And may the high praises of God be in our mouth. And Lord, what a day it will be when our Jesus we will see. And I long for that day. And so I pray now in Jesus' most wonderful and precious name. Amen. We are going to be in three different passages of Scripture, but God has really impressed upon my heart, and let me just share some Scripture from my heart. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We're going to start in Philippians 4, very familiar passage of Scripture. But again, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And then another scripture that the Lord just constantly uses in my life, out of Psalm 94, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have soon dwelt in silence. When I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, thy unfailing love held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts, or when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Fret not because of evildoers, neither be thou envious at the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down, and wither is the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed, or feed on his faithfulness. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust, there's the word again, also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only tends to evil. It only causes harm. Why am I sharing this? We're going to start in Philippians 4, a very familiar passage of Scripture. But sometimes, ladies, we read the Scripture, but when I was teaching, I used to tell young ladies, read thoughtfully, read carefully, read slowly, read meditatively. Don't just read the Bible, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, extravagantly. Let God's Word change you. So many people say, well, I read the Bible. God doesn't say just to read it. We are to meditate therein day and night. So as we go through this, verses 6, be careful. I'm gonna take apart these words a little bit. Be careful. Be anxious or be torn apart for nothing. How many of us? Our hearts get torn apart, ripped up, anxious for so many things. I was telling Harold and Debbie this morning, I says, I really, in many ways, came into this conference on empty. And I said, Lord, unless you do this, nothing's going to happen. Because, you know, I had a conference last week, but there's just been so much that has led up to this. And all of the pressure and the attack and the challenges, especially when with my daughter getting married, and how, I mean, up, as I mentioned to you as I was sharing, even to the point where she was going to walk down the aisle, there was such oppression, such attack, so many needs at the Christian Academy where I, by God's grace, I volunteer. And I just said, Lord, I think I need this conference, you know, more than anybody in some ways to be ministered to. And, you know, sometimes you ever feel like, ladies, you're just running on empty? We are human beings. We do have limitations. And I am in no way diminishing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But he also understands that as physical beings, we do need rest. And I remember sometimes Dr. Olala, when I was teaching at Northland, he used to say, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is go to bed. And, you know, I mean, you're on empty. You need to go to the gas station. Well, this has been for me a tremendous blessing just to be here, and the ladies have been so receptive. But be careful, without care, be anxious, be torn apart for nothing, but in everything. And God's going to give us, there's four different words that are used for prayer. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I shared a little bit, the word prayer just means those special times set aside in devotion and worship. So God says, in everything, rather than being ripped up, torn apart, anxious, worried, He says, those special times that we set aside for devotion and worship and supplication, that deep, intense longing, when you feel that the burden is so heavy that if the floor wasn't there, you'd go right through it. With thanksgiving, when you don't feel like being thanksgiving or being thankful, ladies, don't live on feelings. Yes, we need them. Life would be very boring without them. But we ladies, sometimes feelings can dominate. Don't live on feelings. Have transformed thinking. Have God-like, Christ-like responses. Don't be a slave to your feelings. Make your feelings a slave to right thinking. Okay, I'll say it again. Don't be a slave to thinking or to your feelings. I'm tired. I'm sorry. Don't be a slave to your feelings. Make those feelings a slave to right, biblical, God-like thinking. Okay. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, thanking God for who He is. How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of Thine house, and Thou shalt make them to drink of the rivers of Thy pleasures. For with Thee is the fountain of life. In Thy light shall we see light. Thankful for who He is, what He has done, what He will do. Everything God does is perfect. Isn't that awesome? And He's your Abba Father if you are His blood-bought child. Let your requests, that's the fourth word for prayer, requests, specific and definite needs. Ladies, you can't be too detailed. Don't be afraid to bring the intimate details to the Lord. I don't know how many times I've prayed for my children. Lord, would you intervene? They're under attack. Show your marvelous loving kindness. Step in, cast out, and rebuke the enemy. I have done that over and over and over for my children. And God has answered. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. What's that peace? That inner calm and tranquility. How? God is in control. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. None can stay under His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? God is in control. That inner peace and tranquility. My Lord is on His throne, He's in control, and that close walk with the Lord. You know, Tozer often says, he says, don't look at what the enemy's doing. He says, you stay so close to the Lord that you are focused on what God is doing. So close. And keep, guard, garrison your hearts. It's a military term. And it means that God's peace guards, keeps, garrisons the heart of His children as they trust in Him, as they renew their minds. I remember many, many years ago, and for those of you who've heard this short story, when we were on the Florida Everglades, my father, I was young, I was about 14, well, I guess not that young, a teenager. And it got late at night. We had underestimated how far the trip was going to be. And we were in a canoe. My uncle, big man, didn't see a branch, capsized the canoe, and out we went. And I started screaming, typical female response. And my father, who was in another canoe ahead of me, heard me. And I don't know how my dad did this, because they had started to hit the rushing water. And somehow, with his strength, when he heard the voice of his child crying, he took that canoe and went back against those rapids. And the next thing I knew, Dad had and had pulled me out of the water. I did not know how to swim. We had on a life vest, but I had taken the life vest, not off, but it wasn't buckled. Dumb. And at that point, we were stranded, and it was getting dark, and we had nothing. I mean, we're out there, and we're walking. It was the Nyange River, and the best of my knowledge, again, it's been a long time, the Everglades, and we didn't know where we were, and here's Dad, my uncle, and a bunch of kids, and we have no food, we have no flashlights, nothing. We thought we'd be done with the trip by 4 o'clock. But all I remember is my father, being a World War II veteran, a Marine, as well as in the Navy, took control. And he said, all right, get behind me, and we started to walk. And I'll be honest with you, there were so many dangers, but I was not afraid. You know why? Because I was walking close to my daddy. And I wasn't even concerned about the dangers. Because my dad used to say, he says, if anything or anybody tries to hurt you, they're done. And he meant it. He meant it. I was completely calm, and guess what? He got us safely back. Because I was walking close to my daddy. Ladies, as we are anxious or torn apart for nothing, but in everything, we are resting in our Heavenly Father. He will carry you, as we just heard, to completion. Turn to Psalm 131. Turn to Psalm 131. Lord, the Bible says, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. In other words, I'm not arrogant, I'm not proud. This is a psalm of humility. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. In other words, ladies, you're never going to connect all the dots. Stop trying to figure it all out. Stop trying to fix it. Now, that doesn't mean we don't keep praying, but there are mysteries. The secret things of the Lord our God belong to Him. Isaiah 55 tells us, His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so His thoughts and ways are above us. You know, we're never going to, if you remember those little things where you connected the dots and you figured out what it was, never going to happen completely. God is God. And David is saying, I'm not going to occupy or exercise, I'm not going to wear myself out on things too high for me. And then he says, surely I have behaved. I have calmed and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. What's he saying? Well, ladies, just as a child who has known the comfort and the strength and the nourishment of the mother who has nursed, and the closeness. That child, when they're weaned, that's a big deal. They can become very fearful. They're out of their comfort zone. But the child has learned to trust mom, has learned that mom's going to meet the need, has learned to trust his mother and is content with her presence. So, as God's children, as we have learned to trust our Lord, to trust his care, to trust his word. As we've learned that, so we can now learn to trust his presence. That he is in control. We don't understand things, but that's okay. Because God sees and knows all. So ladies, stop being anxious. Stop being torn apart by everything. All of these problems, Remember the PNOB, problems reveal needs, which are opportunities for God to show himself mighty, which brings blessing. Stop fretting. I'm speaking to myself. Stop worrying. Calm and quiet your soul. God is with me. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And finally, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 20 and 21. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Do you get an idea of a theme? Allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. Why? Thou wilt keep him, or how, excuse me, in what kind of peace? Perfect peace. How? Whose mind is stayed, focused on him, because you are making a choice. He trusteth in him. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, the rock of ages. That's Isaiah. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So often I get, I'm so offended. No. Great peace have those who love his word. So let's go to Hebrews 13. I'm going to say it, and then let's take it apart a little bit as we finish up. Now, the God of peace. By the way, he's also called the God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He's also called the God of all grace. He's also called the God of all comfort. But now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Let's take that apart. The God who is our peace. The God who is our peace. Paul said the things you have learned, that you've received, that you've heard, that you've seen in him, do. And the God of peace will be with you. Ladies, have you learned his truth? Have you received his truth? Are you hearing his truth? Are you obeying his truth? When you do that, the God of peace will be with you. If you think you can live any way you want, you can have your agenda and your plans, and that God's peace is going to garrison your heart, no, you cannot worship and serve a pure God, as I mentioned the other day, with a pagan divided heart. The double-minded man, what does the Bible say, is unstable in all his ways. I can't have one foot in the world and one foot, well, I want to enjoy this, Lord. I want to live with this way. No. You love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's all that's in you. The God of peace, he's our peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. What does that mean? It means God who has all power. The Bible talks about that, the exceeding greatness of who he is. Now unto God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, how? According to the power that worketh in us, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers and rulers and dominions and every name that is named. What's the point? When it says that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, this is God who has all power. There is nothing too hard for him. You remember with Sarah? When she was going to, you know, how's this going to be? She's going to have this baby. For nothing is too hard. She's, you know, she laughs. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." God responds, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" I'll never forget, years ago, in a church I was at, they were doing a building program, and they were praying about bringing in the money, and I understand that. And as they were talking about, we got to raise this amount, And they said, "Boy, we can raise this, but we're talking $500,000. And, and they were panicking. And with this older gentleman who had walked with God for years, his name was Brother Leo Walker, I'll never forget. And he stood up and he said, and they kept saying, "Well, $500,000. This man says, "That ain't nothing with God." He said, "That ain't nothing with God. $5 million. He says, "He's God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That ain't nothing with him." And they kept saying, "Oh, but we can't raise it." He was like the two that came back with a good report, and they're all sitting here discouraging everybody. And this man's, he's standing up. What's that to the Lord? I was a young Christian, I thought. Who is this man? I was overwhelmed by that. But so often we forget. As the Bible says, when Abraham says that he believed, he didn't consider his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had said he was able to accomplish. Ladies, how great is your God? We sang that. How great is our God? The God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, God who is our peace, God who is all power, that great shepherd of the sheep, God who is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Leads, protects, provides, goes out before. When he sends his sheep, he goes out before them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is all I need. One gentleman put it this way: when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything. And when you have everything, you have need of nothing. I said, that sums it up. That great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, God who is our Redeemer. Justified through his blood. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The Bible goes on to say that we have been forgiven one, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Have you thanked God this morning that you are redeemed? There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, not yours. God who will perfect us. We heard it this morning. He who began a good work in you will perform. He's going to carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God who will perfect us. Ladies, he's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you. But he's going to perfect you according to his perfect will. Not my will, but thine. That is the passion of the child of God who is surrendered. Dying daily to your agenda. Dying daily to your plans, your will. Lord, what will bring you the greatest glory? I am yours, absolutely, fully surrendered unto my sweet Lord. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. The God who works in us. So God, who is our peace. God who has all power. God who is your shepherd. God who is your redeemer. God who will perfect you, and the God who works in you, working you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. How important is it to please God? Paul said in Colossians that he prayed for them, that they would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with gentleness. God who works in you. You know, Philippians 2:13 says that we work out our salvation. They say, is that works? No. God works, because it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God works in as you work out. God is changing you, but ladies, you must obey. I can give my children instruction, but until they obey, they're not going to benefit from it. You can know God's word, but until you internalize it and you obey, you are deceived. If you say you have fellowship with God but walk in darkness, you lie, the Bible says. That's what he says. If we say we have fellowship with God but I'm walking in darkness, I lie. I'm not practicing the truth. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest, reveal myself to him. Ooh. If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto making him and make our home, our abode with him. You want intimacy with the Lord? You want God to reveal himself to you? You want God to make his home with you? Obey. If we do not obey God's word, if we do not love God's word, ladies, it's never going to really benefit your life. That's a hard one for me. I'm not talking salvation. Nothing can change that. But ladies, for 7 years when I was first saved, yes, I was a believer, but I was not walking in obedience, as I shared yesterday. And I was miserable with a capital M. When God broke me, and I love the definition that Dr. Les Olola gives of brokenness, the shattering of your will so that every thought and response is submitted to the Spirit of the living God. Nancy DeMoss Wugamuth, the shattering of your self-will, the stripping of your self-reliance, and the softening of the soil of your heart. I had a hard heart. I cannot tell you how many times I've not only yelling at my kids, but just angry, 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 and God in his mercy said, enough. Enough. You are God's child. Live like it. Loved with an everlasting love. When sin tempts me, like Joseph, how can I sin and do this great sin against God? God who works in us, and God who deserves all glory. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And how does it end? That verse. To whom be glory forever and ever. In other words, he alone deserves all glory. That's give him full weight. Give him credit for what only he can do. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. What does that mean? When you magnify something, what do? Make it bigger. Now, God is already awesome, but I must magnify his name. What an awesome God we serve. And as we conclude in 1 Peter 5, and I'm just going to quote this, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Stop fighting. Lord, make it go away. Make the trial go away. Now, don't misunderstand me. It is appropriate and right to pray and to say, Lord, if it is your will and it will bring you glory, please, nothing wrong, and I often pray, bring healing, and I will pray in faith. but always with that submissive, surrendered spirit. And Lord, I just pray, you know, humble myself that he may lift you up or exalt you in due time, casting all your care, your anxiety upon him. Why? He cares. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How does he do that? We talked about that yesterday. He wants you to doubt the character of God. He wants you to bear those cares, not cast them on him, on Christ. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that these same things, these same trials are accomplished in your, are happening in your brethren. But the God of all who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'm going to use another quote. Worry does not ease tomorrow's strength, or tomorrow's stress, forgive me, but it drains today's strength. Worry does not ease tomorrow's stress, but it drains today's strength. Worry takes the reins out of the hands of our advocate, our Lord Jesus Christ, and puts them into the hands of our adversary. Worriers are good at meditation, but it's the wrong kind of meditation. Meditate, focus constantly on our precious Lord. For many years after my husband died and I'm raising three kids, and boy, I'll tell you, nothing does more to humble you, at least for me, than raising three children, or to show you your depravity. As I remember one lady, and I've shared this in advances before, she said, I was a nice person before I had children. And I said, well, I wasn't even a nice person before I had children. Then I had three kids. And, you know, oh boy, just the constant struggles. And I was joking with some of the people yesterday, and I said, I remember how many years when I was first a widow, and I said, Lord, would you please bring me a husband? I don't even care about the fringe benefits. I just need help. I was struggling. I said, Lord, I just need help with these kids. I prayed, and I was struggling. Sometimes we need a little humor. And I cannot tell you how often, help, help, help. And I can remember one time when I was so low, I said, I can't do it anymore. And as I sat there, and I'd gone into the bathroom, and I'm crying, and I said, I resign from motherhood. I'm done. And my kids are all out there crying. Mom! Go away! I'm struggling. I'm crying. And then we're sorry, Mom! And as I'm sitting there, just, and all the Lord spoke to my heart, much of what I shared yesterday, you know, when Jesus said to Peter, to Simon, Satan's desire to have you that he may sift you, but I prayed for you. And at that point, I knew the Lord Jesus was interceding. I just broke. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Please carry me. God gave me, in a time of trouble, he shall hide you in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide you. He shall set you up on a rock. God took me and put me on that rock and in his pavilion. And for several years after that, I would pray and I would say, Lord, I still need help. Till God spoke to my heart and said, stop. Much like, you know, remember how Paul prayed three times? Take this, and the Lord said, mm-mm. Don't keep asking for this. My grace is sufficient. And the Lord, he said, I am your shield and exceeding great reward. And God not only brought me to the place where I stopped praying, and this is my case, not anybody else's, okay? I encourage most women, if you have lost your husband, it's perfectly appropriate to pray for a husband. And then God, there were opportunities, but God began to work in my heart and said, I have chosen that I will receive the greatest glory by you remaining a widow. And I said, I am your bond slave. Be it unto me according to your will. And God only gave me such a love and a contentment. But I have women say to me, I recently, it wasn't too long ago when I was joining Cornerstone, and one lady said, she's an older lady, and she'd lost her husband. Now, I have some great websites for you, Carol. She says that, you know, that's where I found my Hal. I said, Elaine, I have no desire. I said, at this stage in my life, and this is all of God, I love being my Lord's widow. In the sense of this is his calling. He's given me absolute freedom. So now as a retired person, he's provided a home. He has provided my husband's social security that I live on. And it's enough. And he's given me complete freedom so I can now pour whatever is left of this life and as many years into the ministry and anywhere I'm needed. Because I have no, you know, I don't have a husband to take care of. I don't have children to take care of. I have three precious children. I've shared you. They're my greatest treasures. They take care of their mom. They make sure mom's okay. They're so good to their mom. That's all of God. But now if there's a need, ministry wives who are struggling, I have a real burden for our three, our pastor's wife and our two assistant pastor's wives. Lord, how can I pour into them? We've had four deaths in our church in the last month and a half or 2 months. We have three new widows in our church. Okay, Lord, how can I come alongside? And God's given me the privilege of, if there are needs, if there are struggles, Lord, let me, by your grace and your enabling, pour my life into them until you take me home. Why am I saying all of this? Because the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. All for his glory. All for his glory. And so now, ladies, the peace of God can rule in your hearts, and I am content. I define contentment as accepting and embracing with a willing and thankful heart whatever God gives and whatever he removes. Elizabeth Elliot. A willing acceptance of all that God assigns and a glad surrender of all I am and have constitute the key to a quiet, peaceful heart. And so, ladies, again, I'm just going to finish with the scriptures we talked about. Be careful, anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep, guard, garrison your hearts through Christ Jesus. Let the peace of God rule beyond the throne in your heart. Father, you are the God of hope, the God of peace, the God of all grace. And Lord, every promise is true. As for God, his way is perfect. I will publish the name of our God. Ascribe ye righteousness to our God. He is the rock. Your work is perfect and all your ways are just. You are a God of truth and without iniquity, just and righteous. Lord, I pray that you would work in these women's lives, that they would be filled with your peace, with your comfort, that your peace would rule. And Lord, I pray now as we go into the last session, would you so anoint and empower Brother Hawtrey? Thank you for him. What an encouragement he's been. Lord, would you so anoint and empower him and bless him that as we leave this conference, we will leave knowing how great is our God. We love you. We love you. We love you. May we love you more. In Jesus' precious name, amen.